A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's the kind of question that separates the buyers who actually know their landed cost from the ones who just think they do. He's asking us to break down what really changes when you're buying B2B under DAP versus DDP. We've talked before about how DDP can mean delivery to your door, your warehouse, your 3PL. The seller handles everything: import clearance, duties, the works. But Daniel wants to know what the buyer is actually left holding under DAP. Customs fees, clearance responsibilities, the stuff that doesn't show up on the commercial invoice. And I think the real question underneath it is, when that DAP quote comes in 10% cheaper, are you actually saving money, or are you just buying yourself a part-time job as an importer?
That's exactly the tension. And it's worth digging into right now because customs enforcement globally has been tightening. CBP is doing more audits, more exams. The Strait of Hormuz situation is making carriers reroute, which means demurrage and detention costs are spiking when shipments get held up. You take a DAP shipment, it gets flagged for exam, and suddenly your 10% savings evaporates in a week of storage fees at the port. I've seen landed costs swing 15 to 30% just on the customs handoff alone.
15 to 30%. That's not a rounding error. That's the difference between margin and loss on a lot of B2B orders.
Here's the thing, most buyers don't clock until it's too late. Under DDP, all that customs friction is the seller's problem. They've priced it in, sure, probably with a markup. But under DAP, you own the friction. You own the clock. Every hour that container sits waiting for clearance is on your dime.
The sticker price on DAP looks cleaner, but the meter's still running. And Daniel's basically asking us to show him where the meter is.
Let's make sure we're clear on what actually changes hands at the border. Under DDP, delivered duty paid, the seller is responsible for everything. Transport from their factory, export clearance in their country, ocean or air freight, import clearance at your border, duties and taxes, and final delivery to whatever address you named. You get an invoice, you pay it, goods show up.
Clean and expensive. The seller's not doing all that out of the goodness of their heart.
Right. They're pricing in their logistics costs plus a margin, typically 15 to 25% markup on the customs handling alone. But the key thing is, under DDP, the seller is the importer of record. They're the one standing in front of customs legally. If the classification is wrong, if the valuation gets challenged, it's their problem. You're just the recipient.
DAP flips that. Delivered at place, seller still handles transport to the named place. But the moment those goods hit the border, the buyer becomes the importer of record.
That's the handoff. Under DAP, the seller gets the goods to wherever you specified. A port, an airport, your warehouse. But you handle import clearance. You pay the duties. You file the customs entry. You're the one customs calls if something's off.
The fundamental difference isn't really about who pays for shipping. It's about who wears the legal liability at the border. Under DDP, the seller's name is on the customs forms. Under DAP, it's yours.
That's where the risk allocation gets interesting. A seller offering DDP has to build a compliance buffer into their price. They're covering the possibility of exams, reclassification, duty rate changes. Under DAP, you get a lower sticker price because that buffer's been stripped out. But now you're the one holding the compliance risk. If you don't know your HTS code or whether your product falls under an anti-dumping order, you're about to learn the hard way.
DDP is paying someone else to worry. DAP is taking the discount and doing the worrying yourself.
Let's walk through what actually lands on your plate the moment a DAP shipment hits the border. First thing, you need a customs broker. You can't just show up at the port with a clipboard. You need a licensed professional who files the entry on your behalf. That's CBP Form 3461 in the U.S., the entry manifest. Broker fees run $100 to $300 per entry. If you're doing this once, fine. If you're importing monthly, that's real money.
That's before you've paid a cent of actual duty.
And here's the one that blindsides most first-time DAP buyers, the bond. When you import commercially into the US, customs requires a bond to guarantee the duties get paid. Most businesses don't have one sitting around. You've got two options. A continuous bond covers all your shipments for a year, runs $500 to $2,000 depending on your volume. Or a single entry bond, which costs 1% to 2% of the shipment value. So on a $50,000 order, that's $500 to $1,000 just to get through the door.
The DAP quote comes in 8% under DDP, and the bond alone eats the first 2 points of that, before you've paid a broker, before anything goes wrong.
Duties are the next layer. Under DAP, you pay estimated duties and taxes up front at the time of entry. The broker calculates them based on the HTS classification and the declared value, but here's the catch. You are legally responsible for getting the classification right, not the broker, not the seller. If you misclassify, the penalty under 19 U.S.C. 1592 is up to twice the duty owed, not the difference, twice the total.
If you underpay by $5,000 thinking your smart home gadgets are general electrical machines, customs can come back and hit you for 10 grand.
That's exactly what happened to a mid-sized electronics importer I read about. Bought 500 smart home units from a Shenzhen supplier, DAP Shanghai Port, $45 a unit. They classified them under HTS 85-43.70, other electrical machines, when they should have been 85-25.50, transmission apparatus. The duty rate was higher on the correct code. CBP caught it on audit, $12,000 penalty plus 8 months of legal fees.
On a $22,000 order, that's more than half the shipment value in penalties.
The seller's completely insulated from that under DAP. They shipped the goods, they got paid, they're done. The classification liability is 100% on the buyer.
Which makes me think about the nastier cousin of misclassification, anti-dumping and countervailing duties. If your product falls under an AD or CVD order, you're not just paying a percentage, you're paying potentially triple-digit duties.
This is where DAP gets genuinely dangerous. Aluminum extrusions from China, solar panels, certain steel products, these have active AD/CVD orders with duties that can exceed 200%. Under DDP, the seller typically knows this and builds it into the price, though they don't always disclose it. Under DAP, the buyer has to know. If you don't check whether your product is subject to an AD order before it ships, you find out when your broker calls and says your $20,000 shipment now has $40,000 in duties attached.
That's not a hidden cost. That's a hidden landmine.
Then there's the exam risk. Customs and Border Protection selects a percentage of shipments for examination. Could be a simple document review, could be a full physical exam. Under DAP, if your container gets pulled, you pay for everything. The exam fee itself, $200 to over $1,000 depending on the type. Demurrage, which is the charge for the container sitting at the terminal beyond the free days. Detention, which is the charge for keeping the carrier's container past the allowed return window. Those can run hundreds per day.
Your 10% DAP savings is sitting in a container at Long Beach while CBP decides whether to x-ray it, and every sunrise adds another bill to your tab.
Under DDP, the seller's logistics provider manages all of that. They have relationships with the terminals, they have contingency funds built in. You never even hear about it. Under DAP, you get the call from your broker, and you're the one writing the check.
Once you finally clear customs, there's still the question of where exactly the goods are. Under DAP, the named place could be the port. If your warehouse is 500 miles inland, you're now arranging and paying for inland freight. Trucking, fuel surcharges, insurance, the whole chain. The seller's obligation ended at the dock.
Which brings us to something Daniel's question implicitly raises. You can do all of this yourself. Hire the broker, secure the bond, classify the goods, arrange the inland freight. It's doable. The question is whether doing it yourself actually saves money once you tally every line item, or whether it just feels cheaper because the costs are spread across different invoices instead of bundled into one.
That's the accounting illusion at the heart of DAP. The DDP price looks higher because it's all on one line. The DAP price looks lower because the real costs arrive in pieces, from different directions, over weeks. You don't feel them until you do.
Those are the mechanics. Now let's talk about what that means for your bottom line, and your negotiation strategy. Because once you understand where the costs actually land, DAP stops being a simple yes-no decision and becomes a leverage point.
This is where I think the real strategic question emerges. If you're buying under DAP regularly, you're not just paying customs fees. You're building a customs competency inside your business, whether you plan to or not. You either hire someone who knows trade compliance, or you outsource it to a 3PL that offers brokerage as a service. Either way, it's overhead.
That overhead is the part nobody puts in the spreadsheet when they're comparing quotes. A dedicated customs specialist costs you $60,000 to $80,000 a year. A 3PL with brokerage might charge a monthly retainer plus per entry fees. If you're doing 4 shipments a year, that overhead eats your DAP savings entirely. If you're doing 40, the math shifts. But you're also now in the import business, not just the widget business.
Which brings us to what I think of as the DAP discount myth. The seller quotes you 5 to 10% off the DDP price, and it feels like you're being smart. But when you actually run the numbers, bond, broker, exam contingency, inland freight from the named place, the real savings are usually 2 to 4%. And that's if nothing goes wrong.
I ran a comparison that made this painfully clear. Furniture importer buying from Vietnam. DDP to their Chicago warehouse, total cost $22,000. Seller offers DAP to Ho Chi Minh port for $19,500. Looks like a $2,500 savings.
I already don't like where this is going.
Annual continuous bond, $800. Broker fees at $150 per entry, 12 shipments a year, that's $1,800. Inland freight from the port to Chicago at $1,200 per shipment, 12 times, $14,400. One customs exam at $750. Total under DAP, $36,350.
The DAP quote that looked $2,500 cheaper was actually $14,000 more expensive, 65% over the DDP price.
That's not a weird edge case. That's what happens when the named place is the origin port and your actual destination is halfway across a continent. The seller's obligation ends at the dock in Vietnam. Everything after that is on you, and ocean freight plus inland trucking plus customs is not a small line item.
The named place trap. It sounds obvious when you say it out loud, but I bet most first-time DAP buyers just assume the named place is their warehouse. It's not. It's whatever you agreed to in the contract, and if you didn't read that clause carefully, congratulations. You now own a logistics chain.
That trap gets even more interesting when you look at it geographically. DAP in the European Union is a fundamentally different animal than DAP in the United States. EU customs clearance is faster on average, no bond requirement, and the classification system is generally more straightforward. You can clear goods in Rotterdam in hours, not days.
Whereas US customs is more litigious, as you put it earlier. CBP has more enforcement teeth, and they use them.
Then there's China, which has its own special flavor of DAP. A lot of Chinese suppliers offering DAP terms will still control the broker relationship. They'll say it's DAP, but they're the ones filing the paperwork. They're the ones with the broker on speed dial. It's what trade lawyers call gray DAP. It looks like DAP on the invoice, but functions more like DDP in disguise. The buyer thinks they're getting the discount and managing customs, but the seller is still pulling the strings.
Which sounds convenient until something goes wrong. If the seller's broker misclassifies your goods and CBP comes knocking, you're still the importer of record. You're still legally liable. The seller gets to say, "We were just helping," and walk away.
There's a case that illustrates how badly this can go sideways even outside the US. Specialty chemical buyer using DAP Rotterdam. Seller delivers to a bonded warehouse. Everything looks fine. What the buyer didn't realize is that the specific chemical required an import license under TSCA regulations for re-export back to the U.S. The shipment sat in that warehouse for 3 weeks while they scrambled to get licensed. $4,000 in storage fees.
3 weeks of storage fees and a compliance panic because nobody checked whether the product needed a license before it shipped. That's the DAP experience in a nutshell. You don't know what you don't know until the invoice arrives.
Here's the flip side, and this is where the negotiation leverage comes in. Once you actually understand all these costs, the bond, the broker, the exam risk, the inland freight, the classification liability, you can use that knowledge to negotiate better DDP pricing. Walk into the conversation and say, "Look, I know your customs handling margin is typically 15 to 25% on top of the actual duties. I know what a continuous bond costs. I know what inland freight from the port to my warehouse should run, so let's talk about a DDP price that reflects actual costs instead of a padded quote."
You're basically telling the seller, "I know your game. Let's skip the theater." And if they know you understand the mechanics, they're less likely to bury a 30% logistics markup in the DDP price.
The buyer who doesn't understand DAP gets quoted the inflated DDP price and takes it because it's easy. The buyer who understands DAP can say, give me a transparent DDP quote or I'll run DAP myself and keep the difference, and I actually know what that difference is.
The knowledge isn't just about avoiding DAP disasters. It's leverage for getting fair DDP pricing too. You don't have to actually use DAP to benefit from understanding it.
Given all that, here's what you actually do next time you're staring at a DDP and DAP quote side by side. First thing, run a landed cost calculator, not the back of a napkin. Actually, line item it. Bond cost, broker fees, estimated duties based on the correct HTS code, inland freight from wherever the named place actually is to your real destination, and then tack on a 5% contingency for exams, demurrage, reclassification surprises.
5% contingency sounds conservative, until you remember the furniture importer who paid 65% more than the DDP price. That 5% is your I hope nothing goes wrong buffer, not your something definitely went wrong buffer.
But for a first pass comparison, 5% at least forces you to acknowledge that things go wrong. Most buyers compare DDP to DAP and just look at the two numbers on the quote. That's not a comparison, that's wishful thinking.
Second thing, and this one I think is the most common unforced error. Get your customs broker before the goods ship. Not when the vessel's 3 days out. Not when it's already docked. Before anything leaves the factory.
Because the broker can pre-clear the classification. They can tell you what the actual duty rate is going to be in writing before you're committed. If there's an anti-dumping order on your product, you find out before the container's on the water, not when it's sitting at the port running up storage fees.
You can still walk away or renegotiate at that point. Once the shipment's in transit, you're negotiating with the clock ticking.
Third one's for the higher volume buyers. If you're doing this regularly, negotiate what I'd call a DAP with broker assist clause. The seller provides their customs broker's contact information, shares the pre-filed documentation, the commercial invoice breakdown, the packing list in the format customs expects. You're still the importer of record, still legally responsible, but you're not starting from zero on paperwork and relationships.
It's DAP with training wheels. You get the cost savings, but you're not reinventing the clearance process from scratch every time.
The fourth one's a threshold check. If your shipment value is under $2,500, Section 321 de minimis entry applies. No duty, no formal entry required. DAP versus DDP is basically irrelevant at that point.
Let's be honest. If you're a B2B buyer and your shipments are under $2,500, you're either ordering samples or you're in a very niche business. Most commercial orders blow past that threshold on the first pallet.
Which is why for almost everyone listening, those first three points are the ones that matter. Calculator, broker early, broker assist clause. Do those three things and DAP stops being a gamble and starts being a tool? Which brings us to the bigger question underneath all of this. Customs automation is reducing friction fast. The ACE single window system in the US, the EU's customs modernization push, clearance times are dropping. So does that make DAP the inevitable default? If the paperwork gets easier, why pay the seller's DDP markup?
I think the automation argument cuts both ways, though. Faster clearance is great, but those same modernization initiatives are also ramping up audit frequency. CBP's not just processing faster, they're flagging more entries for review, running more compliance checks, so the barrier to entry is lower, but the penalty for getting it wrong is higher.
That's the paradox. The easier customs gets technically, the more valuable compliance competency becomes strategically. Anyone can file an entry now. Not everyone can survive an audit.
That's where the AD/CVD wildcard comes in. Tariff volatility isn't going away. If anything, the last few years suggest it's the new normal. Under DDP, the seller absorbs that risk, or at least prices it in. Under DAP, you're exposed to whatever the duty rate is on the day your goods arrive, not the day you ordered them.
I think the answer to the default question is, it depends on your volume and your risk tolerance. High volume buyers with in-house compliance teams will keep moving toward DAP because they can capture the savings and manage the risk. Low volume buyers who import twice a year probably should stay DDP and pay the premium for insulation from all of this.
Which is really the strategic choice Daniel's question points toward. DAP isn't just a shipping term. It's a decision about whether you want to be in the import business or just the buying business. And either answer is fine, as long as you're making it with your eyes open.
If you want us to do a deep dive on customs bonds or anti-dumping duties specifically, let us know. Those are whole episodes on their own.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The common octopus can hear sounds between 400 and 1,000 hertz, but its hearing is almost entirely mediated through the statocyst, a fluid-filled sac that detects particle motion rather than sound pressure. In the 1840s, Italian naturalist Stefano della Chiaggia first described this organ in detail while dissecting specimens collected near Massawa in what is now Eritrea.
So an octopus hears with its balance organ.
That explains why they always look slightly off balance.
This has been My Weird Prompts. We're produced by Hilbert Flumingtop. If you found this useful, send it to someone who's about to sign a DAP contract without reading the named place clause. And if you want us to dig deeper into bonds or anti-dumping, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be here.
That's fair.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.